Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, which is Nedarim Daf Mem. We are on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, on the last line of the Amud. Picking up on the topic of Bikur Cholim once again. It says the Gemara Rav Chelboy, Cholash, Rav Chelboy fell ill. Nafak Achriz Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana went out and made the following announcement. Where are the visitors? Rav Chelboy, look what happened to him. Boish, he got sick. Like, you got the kasi, there's nobody coming to visit. Amalahu, and he continued with his announcement. Look how important Bikur Cholim is. You come in, you take a look at the Chole, you tend to his needs, you give him a boost of morale. That's vital. That's critical, and perhaps turning around his situation and leading him to recovery, as in the following story. Don't you know about the following story? With Talmud Echad, with one Talmud, Mitalmidi Rabbi Kiva, one of Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, Shechala, he got sick. None of the Chachamim came to visit him. Perhaps, as the Mefarshim say, they figured it was all over, they gave him up for the dead. But v'nichnas Rabbi Akiva levakor. Rabbi Akiva, the Rebbe himself, came in to visit the Talmud, and the Talmidim, noticing that Rebbe coming in, followed suit. Ubishvil shekibdu v'ribtzu lefanav, and they went and they saw what he needed and they swept. They were machabed, they were merabes, they washed down the dust in service of the ill fellow. That served to boost his morale and that led him to recovery. V'chaya. And he fully recovered. Amalei Rebbe, he turns to Rabbi Kiva and he says, my Rebbe Hechi Yisoni, you have given me back my life. Seeing this, Rabbi Kiva went out. Yatzer Rabbi Kiva v'darash, and he taught as follows. Kol mishein mevaker chaylim. If one refrains from visiting an ill person and looking after his needs, ki'ilu sheifich damim, it's as though he contributed to his demise. Bikur isn't just a in-and-out visit. Bikur means like mevaker for mumim, like examining the animal for blemishes, to look into his needs, examine his situation, tend to his needs, and that could serve to boost him, alleviate his load, his emotional load, which can lead to a lightening of his physical situation and lead him to recovery. Kiyasa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came, Omar, he said as follows, Kol mevaker es ha-cholim. When one does bikur cholim, goyrim lo she-yichya. He contributes to his life. He brings him life. V'kol she-eina mevaker es ha-cholim. However, when one does not do bikur cholim, goyrim lo she-yamos, he can be a cause for his death. My grandma, in which way is he causing life or death? Ilema, perhaps it means like this. When one actually visits a chayla, he's in his presence, he's touched by his situation, he relates to him, he's filled with compassion, and is prepared to daven with genuine sincerity. So by visiting a chayla, it facilitates true heartfelt tefillah, to be mechaya the chayla, to lead into recovery. However, a person does not visit, he's asking, he's going to ask Hashem, he's going to daven that the chayla should die. Is that what Rav Dimi meant to say? When you come visit, you contribute to his chayim, because you daven that he should recover, as opposed to when you don't come visit, you daven to Hashem that he should die. Like, why would he do that? Why would a person daven that a chayla should die? Apparently, the Gemara Havamina, the Gemara figured that the mere fact that he's not coming to visit perhaps indicates that he's not really doesn't really have too much hopes for that fellow's recovery, and perhaps he's davening that Hashem should terminate his hardship, terminate his illness, and allow him to pass away. Well, the Gemara doesn't really agree with that. Shiyamas al-kadaita, why would a person think along those lines? Every moment in this world is precious, and why would a person just be uncaring and not visit and daven that he should die? Elo says the Gemara, rather he meant like this: Kol she'ein mevaker chayla. a person who does not visit a chayla, ein mevakesh alav rachmim, loy sheyichya v'loy sheyamts. So it means like this. If he visits, he feels, he sees, he experiences, and he davens with a genuine heart, Hashem, please give him a chiyus, give him a refuah shelema, if that is to his benefit. But when a person does not visit, he doesn't see firsthand what's going on. He doesn't relate to the chayla. In this case, chances are he's not going to be into it. He's not going to contribute any tefillahs, whether to that Hashem facilitates recovery, or, as the Ran will tell us in a minute, sometimes it's better for a person to pass away, and one should direct his tefillah in that direction. But when he doesn't show up, he's not caring, he's not compassionate, he won't daven to Hashem, whether to give him chiyus, to give him recovery, or to end his situation by way of misa, he's not going to be engaged or involved at all. So it's very important to come be mevaker chayla. Be there in the presence of the chayla. Feel for him. Understand his situation, relate to it. And perhaps offer a heartfelt tefillah, which will have special power, because it's in the presence of a chayla, which the Gemara later tells us he merits the presence of Shechina when things are going difficult. Hashem is there to hold his hand. So perhaps his tefillah will be more powerful and more impactful. That's interesting that the Gemara does allude to this concept of davening sheyamos. How is that? Let's take a look at the Ran, who presents us with something very fascinating on the top line. Says the Ran, Ein mevakesh alav rachmim, lo sheyichya v'lo sheyamos. Why would a person daven for misa? Nira be'enai, says the Ran, it appears to me, Dachik Amar, the Brisa means like this. Pa'amim shetzorach levakesh rachmim ala chayla sheyamos. At times, it is in place to daven to Hashem to take away the chayla. Kilo shemitztara chayla b'chol yeharbe. If the chayla is experiencing great discomfort and distress, and the following words are the punchline. V'yi'ev shelo sheyichya. This is strictly in a circumstance where, according to the laws of nature, this fellow has no chance of recovery. No chance of chiyus. This is the famous story of Amsei the Rebbe. Rebbe HaKadosh was very sick. The Chachamim were davening for his recovery. But she deferred. She disagreed. The kibun dechasoy amsei the Rebbe. The al kama zimnen beis akisei vanach tefillin kavetz dar. She sees how difficult it is for him. In and out of the beis akisei, he was suffering from a intestinal ailment. He's in and out the tefillin on and off. He's experiencing great discomfort and distress. And apparently, she knew that he has no chance of living further. This is not going to lead to recovery. So she davened that Hashem take him away. Amra, she said, Yirotzen she'akufu helyenim satachtoinu, that the heavenly powers, the malachim, should override the petitioners down here and take him away. Kalaymer delimos Rebbe, that Rebbe should pass away. So we find this concept that when a person is yev shalei sheyichya, he's not going to survive the experience, and he's in great distress, one perhaps should daven that he should pass away. So that's the Pshat in Al Gemara as well, says the Ran. That's what the Gemara means. When one does bikur chaylam, he can very much benefit the ill person, even to facilitate recovery. Why? Because tefillah in the presence of the chayla is more heartful, it's more personal, it's more impactful, and can lead to chiyus. However, this is in contrast to a person who doesn't show up, does not take personal interest. It certainly goes without saying he's not going to daven for chiyus, because he's not really expressing interest. He's not, chances are he's not going to invest effort to daven for the chayla's recovery. So certainly that's not going to happen. Ela afilu, even the lesser benefit, the lesser tefillah. Ela afilu eicha de'ika lehano b'misa. Even the daven that this fellow should pass away, if indeed that's good for him, even that minor benefit, afilu oisa zutrusi eni maneu, even that he's not giving him because he's not taking interest, he's not here, he's not going to invest any tefillah. So drawing that parallel, come visit. Perhaps you can add chiyus by davening for a refuah shalema, in contrast to staying away where you're not going to take interest, you're not going to daven, whether for recovery or perhaps even for misa, if that's good for him. It's interesting that Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuvos makes reference to this Gemara, and he says apparently we do see this concept from the Gemara, from the Ran, that yes, at times when a person is in great distress and Alpida Rechateva has no chance to recover, there's a concept of davening that Hashem should take him away and end his discomfort. But he says that, of course, even if perhaps there's no chiyuv to prolong his life by way of various medical procedures, that might be able to do that because he's suffering yisurim. There's no mitzvah to prolong that person's life. But he says certainly one should seek to administer medication, etc., to alleviate the yisurim that he's going through. That's a big mitzvah. So it's an interesting tshuva with many details, many variations, and of course, due to the varying circumstances of these types of situations, a competent rav should be approached before proceeding with any of these issues. Interestingly enough, listen to this: there was a story with Rav Moshe Feinstein himself. There was a doctor; his name was Dr. Stein. He wasn't firm at that time; wasn't yet firm at that time, and he had recommended to his patient who was severely ill. He suggested that he undergo a very complicated and painful medical procedure to perhaps prolong his life. But since success was really questionable, was really in doubt that it was really going to do anything. On the one hand, on the other hand, it's going to really put him through a very painful experience. He wasn't sure, so he presented the options to his patient, and the patient responded by saying, "I want to go to Rav Moshe Feinstein to ask this to present this very complicated Shaila." Dr. Stein was very intrigued. A medical question of such high proportions to a rabbi, like, what's the connection? So I want to go along. I'm intrigued how a rabbi will relate to intricate medical equations. In any case, he approached Rav Moshe Feinstein, and the patient and doctor presented the situation, and Rav Moshe Feinstein started crying upon hearing the difficulty and the tsar that he's going through. He started crying for about 20 minutes. The doctor was just flabbergasted. Never seen anything like that. A strange rabbi just crying bitter tears. Tears of distress. Tears of empathy for this near perfect stranger. In any case, Ramesha, when he was came to, he says, "This is too complicated to answer on the spot. Please come back tomorrow." And the next day they came back, and he told them, in his opinion, he says, "In my opinion, you should take the chance." Why? Because, he says, perhaps the procedure will prolong your life a bit, in which case you can recite mitzvahs, do mitzvahs and recite brachas, and say amen. And all those things will generate malachim who will guard over you. And perhaps you'll be zeichet to live longer, longer than expected. And the end of the story was they did the procedure, did the operation, it was successful, and in fact he lived longer. And the punchline is that this Dr. Stein became firm because of this encounter, this heartfelt personal encounter with Rav Moshe Feinstein, which totally floored him. And it highlighted the genuinity of Torah, mitzvahs, and the Torah way of life. Okay, so that's a story of Rav Moshe himself, who paskin to do something to prolong a person's life, even though his success was really questionable and it was risky and painful. But so, no two situations are alike. She'll have Surah's Tevis. Continues the Gemara. Rava, Yoyimah Kadmo Adacholosh. when Rav fell ill, when he got sick the first day, the condition hadn't yet, you know, been established. Perhaps it will just, you know, come and go. He didn't make a big deal of it. He didn't publicize it. Amar, he said, Amar Lohen, he told him, Loi tiglu l'inish. You know what, don't publicize my condition. The Loi lisra mazal, I don't want my mazal to be affected. Meaning, I don't want people speaking about it. The Marsha says, Bris krusalis fosayim, as the Gemara tells us, words have power. Let's not discuss it. Let's not verbalize the situation. Perhaps it's here, I'll be gone tomorrow. But once it's settled in, mikan ve'elach, past the first day, it's already day number two, the condition has already established itself. He was really ill. Amar lahayin, so he told him, yeah, go tell people. I want people to daven for me. Puku v'achriza b'shuka, go tell people outside. They called the sanili. Why tell them? Because those who dislike me, lichtili, let them be happy. Let them be glad that I'm sick. And perhaps that will serve to alleviate my situation. Uksiv, as the pasuk says, bin nefoyla yivecha al tismach, don't reap joy upon your enemy's downfall. And the pasuk continues, penira Hashem, Hashem might see that and not be happy. And what happens? Veheshiv me'ol of apoy, the condition might just go over, might be transferred from that person to you. So don't express joy at your enemy's downfall. Says Rav, I want people to know, perhaps my enemies will find out, they'll be glad, and Hashem will remove the situation from me. On the one hand. On the other hand, Udurachmi, and those who like me, Libo Yolei Rachmi, will go ahead and daven for me, for my recovery. Amarav, Kol Mavakas HaChayla, one who does Bikur Chaylam, Nitzoyl, Midin Shal Gehinam, he is spared from Gehenam. Shenamar Ashrei Maskil Eldol, fortunate is the person who is cognizant about the needs of a dull, of an unwell person. The Rosh says, Mashkiach elav levakri, ulefakeach betzrochav. Go visit a dull, a sick person. See what he needs and tend to his needs. B'yom ra imatei Hashem. What is the reward? You'll be spared. B'yom ra. Explains the Gemara. Ashri maskel el dal. What does dal mean? Ein dal elachol. Dal is an unwell person. Shenamar b'dali v'atzeni. This was by Chizkia when he fell ill. So the dala, the sickness, is what he was referring to. Inami or minadin kro. Another right, a dal means choli. Madua ato kocha dal ben hamelch babeke babeke. This was Amnon when he was unwell. Why are you so dal? So a person who's sensitive to a dal, who's mevakar choyla, he's speared from ra'a. What is ra'a? In ra'a, ela gehenem. Shenemar kol poil Hashem maneu, v'gam rasha, he ends up liyam ra'a and gehenem. And the Gemara continues, v'im biker, and if indeed he visits a choyla, maschorei, what reward does he reap? What do you mean? We just said, maschorei. K'damar, as we just said, nitzol midin shel gehenem, he's speared from gehenem. Ela rather, the question was, maschorei be'olam hazeh. What does he get in this world? And the answer is Hashem Yishmereyu, Vichayeyu, Vusha Ba'aretz, Ba'al Tetneu B'nefesh Eivav. Which means like this, Hashem Yishmereyu, Hashem guards him, Yetzer Hara, protects him from the Yetzer Hara. What else? Vichayeyu means Minay Yisurim, he spares him from difficulties. Vusha Ba'aretz means Sheyu Akol Mizbchabdimah, he's going to be the pride of the land. Everybody will pride themselves upon being his friend, and he'll be the object of covet. Va'alta tneu benefesh evav means she is damnu loy reyim. Hashem will provide for him good advisors, good friends. Kin Naaman, just as Naaman's friends, who was actually Elisha, who advised him, sheripos taratoi, who advised him how to relieve himself of the tzaras condition that he had. Va'al yiz damnu loy reyim kiruchavim, as opposed to getting advisors like Rechavam got, Shechilkos Malchusoi, who encouraged him to lead his countrymen with a heavy hand, and that led to splitting of the Melucha. Tanya Rab Shimon ben Lazar Eimer, on the topic of Rechavam, listen to this interesting lesson. Im Yaymer Lecha Yiladim B'nei, sometimes you have youngsters, inexperienced, perhaps overly excited people, telling you, build, embark on that ambitious project, go ahead, do it. Who's the Kainim Sasoir, but older people, more experienced and mature people, who have more foresight, tell you, no, Sir, back up. Hold off at the moment. Perhaps even demolish this existing structure. Which one should you do? Build or demolish? Listen to this, Kanim. Shema lezakenim. Ve'al tishma, don't heed li'ilodim to the youngsters. Why? Shebinyan yiladim stira sometimes. When a youngster builds and builds and creates with ambition, it's a short-lived experience. Perhaps it's even detrimental what he is doing. It's for the moment. It's not going to be successful long-term. In contrast to ustiras zekein and binyan, at times, demolishing, breaking, taking apart upon the advice of a zaken. When the zaken is soiser, perhaps that is actually binyan. It serves to build. It serves to present a foundation for future growth, which will indeed be successful in the right time and place. V'simul davar, what's a good simon for this formula, Rochavim and Shlomai, who had these young, inexperienced advisors telling him, be tough, lead your community with a heavy hand. And he lost them. That served to split the melucha. Amar Rav Shisha b'rei d'Ravidi, Loilisad means to be mevaker. Loilisad, don't support a chayla. Don't go visit a chayla at the wrong times of the day. Loilisad inish ketziru, ketziru is an ill person. Don't go visit a chayla, loy betla shoyk at maisa. Not within the first 3 hours of the day. Veloy betla shoyk at sreis at yom. Nor during the last 3 hours of a day. Just somewhere in the middle. That's perfect. Why? What's wrong with these hours? Because if you go during these periods, perhaps you're not going to be focused, you're not going to be interested in investing effort to ask Hashem for compassion. Why? Plus, because the first 3 hours of the day, when the chayla perhaps is bursting with energy and chirpy, he's all into it, and he doesn't give the appearance of being too ill, and perhaps you're not going to get too interested in davening for him at that point. You're not going to see the need for it. Bas Reisa, in contrast to the last 3 hours of the day, when he's excessively weakened, Takiv Chulshe, he'll be overly weak and he won't look too well at all. And perhaps visiting him at that time will discourage you. He'll just give up. He won't daven at all. Amar Rav and Amar Rav, Menayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Zanas Achela. You know, at times we find that a chayla barely eats, barely drinks, and somehow he carries on because Hashem is giving him zaynas through the chayli. He's energizing him through the chayli itself. Hashem gives him seuda, sustains him through his illness. Where do we find that the shechina rests above the chayla's bed? Hashem's presence is by the bed of the chayla. In fact, Rashi in Chumash Parshas Vayechi brings it. Yishtachu Yisrael, they bowed right towards the bita where the shechina is. Tanya Nami Hoch, we find the same in a brisa. This has an halachic ramification. Hanichnas levakas chayla. When one enters to do bikur chaylim, and the chayla is perhaps on a very lying low, make sure don't sit above him. Don't sit higher than him on a higher level. Because you're meant to respect the Shechina's presence. Lo yeshev lo elgabi mita, you shouldn't sit on top of a bed. Lo elgabi sapsal, on a bench. Lo elgabi kisei, on a chair. Elo rather misate, if he wraps himself out of deference to the Shechina. V'yeshev elgabi karka, and he sits on the ground. V'pnei why v'sha Shechina, shiruya lamalum tosa shalchel, because of the Shechina that rests here. Shenemar, as we find in the pasuk, Hashem yisadenu al eres divoy. Another teaching from the same Amar. V'amar Ravin, Amar Rav. Mit Rabbi Marava. Sahada Rabba Pros. So when you're in Bavel, you want to use the Euphrates River, the Pros River, which flows through Bavel. But you're unsure whether this is natural spring water or perhaps it's filled with rainwater. Now what's the difference? So actually, there are two major differences between a ma'ayon, a natural spring water pool, and a mikvah, which is filled with rainwater. Two differences are like this. A mikvah needs a shiur, 40 Su'ah, whereas a Mayan, a spring, doesn't need a shear to be used for tefillah. Number two, a mikvah needs to be still. The water needs to be standing still. That's the Lashon Mikvah. Kavu v'kaimu. It's a gathering of water. It sits still. You're going into that body of water. That's the tefillah pertaining to a mikvah as opposed to a spring or a river, which is meant to flow. That's its natural state. In which case, even when it's in motion, it is kosher for tevilah. So one is sheer, no sheer, standing still or moving. So you have a river, such as the Pras River. Well, shall we treat it as a mayan, because it is sourced from underwater sources? Or shall we say, well, if it's filled with rainwater, we treat it like a mikvah, in which case it cannot be used while flowing, while in motion. Rainwater needs to be standing still to be kosher for a mikvah. So now we're in Bavel. We have the Pras River flowing through. Mitra b'marava, Sada Rabba, Pras. Pras is a Sada, an aid, a witness, a great witness. A very strong indication of what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, if typically Pras flows at this level, and now it's much higher, that increase in volume comes from where? Since the Euphrates flows from Eretz Yisrael down into Bavel, apparently, Eretz Yisrael has experienced much rain, which served to fill up, to increase the volume of Pras, and in fact, that's a problem. Because if Pras is now mostly rainwater, it cannot be used while in motion. It needs to be standing still to be used as a mikvah. So that's Rav's Shita. If Pras is mostly made up of rainwater, it is possible for tefillah while in motion. Upliga de Shmuel, but this is in disagreement with Shmuel, who totally disagrees. Dama Shmuel tells us Nahara, a river, Mikipe, from its rock, from its source, Mizbarich, it is blessed, meaning it draws water from underground sources. And even if it's raining and raining, but ultimately most of the river supply comes from underground internal sources. And therefore, even if it's overflowing at the banks due to much rain in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't matter. Because in proportion, underground sources provide more than rainwater. So that's one Shmuel. But there's another Shmuel who seems to disagree. Upliga de Shmuel, de Shmuel. We have this Shmuel over here who's making, who allows using this river in this form, disagreeing with another Shmuel who seems to be machmer like Rav. Domer Shmuel tells us, Eina mayim metam tarim bezoichlin. When can a body of water be used as a mikvah, even though it's flowing and in motion? You have to be careful. It can't contain mostly rainwater. So you're very limited. Ela pras b'yemi tishrei b'lvad. The river pras only during the Tishrei season. So it's not winter time, not much rain going on. It's not springtime where you have the snow runoff, which is like rainwater. So during Tishrei, pras is kosher, because you know it's primarily natural spring water. So apparently Shmuel was machmer, like the other Shita. And unless you know with certainty, or you presume that it's mostly natural spring water, you can't use a flowing river. In fact, Avod Shmuel as well, Shmuel's father also subscribed to that Shita. He would not use a flowing river during these seasons where it would appear that it's mostly containing rainwater. And therefore, Avad Lohin Mekvois Lebante, B'yemi Nisan, during Nisan time, where you have all the rain and rain runoff and the snow runoff, he would make special mikvah mikvois for his daughter to use. He wouldn't use the river. Umafti B'yemi the Tishrei. But of course, Tishrei time, when you didn't have these issues, the river was just natural spring water, fed by underground streams and sources. So then they could use the river. He would just make mapsi, these are like mats, which they can use to avoid contact with the mud, which might present a chatzitza issue. And then they used it, but otherwise, throughout the rest of the year, they couldn't. They couldn't use these rivers, which were overflowing with rainwater. Okay, so we learned about the virtues of Bikur Cholim, how it can contribute to the Cholim's life, can bring about a full recovery, as we found in the story of Rabbi Kiva. The idea of davening in the presence of the Cholim, which also can benefit him very much. We had Rava who would keep it a secret until it was actually established, and then he asked, had to have it publicized, so that the Rabban would daven for him. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere says that's why they splattered the Arla, the unsuccessful tree, with red, you know, splatters that everybody sees and davens for it. It's really virtuous to have the tzibur davening for a person, better not to hide the situation. Adrabah, have them contribute to his recovery through tefillah. The schar of Bikur Chaylim is sparing from Gehenna, etc. Stiras Zekenim can actually be Binyan. We learned about the Shechina residing Lamalam Tasa Shel Chaylim. We have the Machlekas here regarding how to treat a river. Shall we say, well, if it's mostly rainwater, that's an issue, or the river primarily is fed from underground water sources, in which case the abundance of rainwater doesn't present a concern of Machlekas. And some Rishayin and Paskin Lekula, and some Golachamra. Hatzlacha Rabbah to you on Besuras Tevis.